This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight in the studio, Tom is here.
Hello.
And myself, Matt. Now, homosexuality has actually had a high profile in the country we're visiting tonight, largely due to the use of sodomy laws in the political arena. Despite attracting international condemnation, the practice persists. Tonight, we're off to Malaysia.
What effect does the political misuse of the colonial-era sodomy laws have on everyday LGBT Malaysians?
How do you start a public conversation to remove these anti-gay laws?
And is there a change going on that might move LGBT acceptance forward? To enlighten us on the current mood in Malaysia, tonight we are joined by Dr. Joseph Goh, lecturer in gender studies at Monash University in Malaysia.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We're talking all things Malaysia tonight. Now, Malaysia has retained its colonial-era sodomy laws, the great legacy of Great Britain, and includes both heterosexual and homosexual acts, and punishable with anything from fines to imprisonment of up to 20 years and even corporal punishment.
Human Rights Watch reports that state-level Sharia laws prohibit cross-dressing, and transgender people face arbitrary arrests, physical and sexual assault, imprisonment, discriminatory denial of health care and employment, and other abuses.
And public opinion's not that great either. A 2013 Pew Research opinion survey showed that only 9% of the Malaysian population believe that homosexuality should be accepted by society, 86% saying no way. That has come through in the Anwar Ibrahim trials. So Anwar Ibrahim rose to become the opposition leader and was then charged multiple times with sodomy. He has served time in prison on charges of sodomy and was then overruled by courts of appeal, but he is currently back in jail right now, again being accused of sodomy. And we're going to explore that more tonight as we look at Malaysia. Our guest tonight has an incredible stated challenge. He says he strives to bridge academia, activism, education, ministry, and Christian studies. Dr. Joseph Goh is a lecturer in gender studies at Monash University's campus in Malaysia. We asked Joseph to start by painting us a picture of what life is like for an LGBT person living in Malaysia.
First up, I don't think it's fair to say that LGBT people are being actively persecuted in every area of life in Malaysia. I don't think we have a situation in Malaysia where LGBT people have to constantly look over their shoulder in case somebody wants to come up to them and bash them in the head or anything like that. And I also don't think that there is any kind of active discrimination against LGBT people in Malaysia. There are, of course, pockets of discrimination in terms of work. There are, of course, instances of violence. So these things are there, but they're not there 24/7. They're not the sorts of things that cause LGBT Malaysians to live in fear all the time. Having said that, I think it's also important to point out that there are laws and there are policies in Malaysia that speak very clearly against LGBT people in terms of same-sex expression. So what I would say is that there is a prevalent climate of precariousness and vulnerability for LGBT people in Malaysia.
Those laws you're talking about have come from the British colonial sodomy laws. Many countries have made changes in those laws. There's still quite a few that haven't, but Malaysia doesn't seem to be showing any interest in changing those laws either.
Absolutely. We have inherited these laws by virtue of being a former British colony, and these laws are here. They have been contested. We have tried very hard, and when by we, I mean LGBT activists and our allies, to get the conversation going on removing this. But unfortunately, the politicians are not really interested in removing this clause, simply because I think these laws serve a greater purpose in their eyes, in that these laws can actually be used for political mileage, as we have seen in the case of Anwar Ibrahim, where the Malaysian Penal Code was brought against him. He was charged with sodomy, and he has been in the back burner of the political scene for a very long time. While the issue of whether or not he's gay is one that's still contested and greatly wondered about by the Malaysian population, the real issue is that it was used against him to prevent him from taking part in the general elections.
I think you're right there that whether he is gay or not is not the issue, rather that these laws are being used as a political tool. Do you think that use of them has a wider implication? I'm thinking a young LGBT person sees this playing out in the media. Are they more likely to stay in the closet, for example?
What's happening now in Malaysia is that there is an increasing sense of courage. I mean, there has been greater forms of activism being played out in Malaysia among the younger generation, who are very keenly aware of these laws, these policies, and these incidents involving people who have been wrongly or rightly prosecuted using the sodomy law. But they seem to be unperturbed by that. And I'm talking about young activists. On the other hand, of course, among those who may not be involved in activism and hence may not have as much access to social, political, cultural, and legal resources as activists, they do tend to shy away from being too public about their sexual identity. So yes, so I would say that with the exception of those who are more involved in activism, LGBT activism in Malaysia, and those who have taken an interest in the issue and have read up on the laws, I think with those exceptions, the average LGBT Malaysian lives with the fear of being exposed and experiencing a lot of negative whiplash from that.
Coming up, we find out what the effects of being outed are on someone in a country where same-sex acts are still prosecuted. This is Worldwide Wave.
Few messages coming on in. 317 has come through, a timely reminder about Queensland sodomy laws that are still enacted in Australia. We're just going to check that one for you, 317. Not sure if the current government has actually changed that. We'll come back to you later in the show on that one.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbu from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the Worldwide Wave.
It's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And a year and a day ago, we took you to Orlando in the wake of the horrible shooting there. And I guess that's just another reason why we still need joy. And you can help keep us on air by taking out a membership. And we'll keep bringing you stories from all around the world right here on Worldwide Wave. Messages coming in some more. So first of all, a bit of a follow-up. 317 made some comments about Queensland sodomy laws. No, they're gone. So 1990, they left Queensland. And tends to be a little bit behind in some areas, you might say. It took them until this year, March this year, to get rid of the gay panic defence as well. So there is progress coming. Another comment there, let's not forget this step backward to change the Sexual Discrimination Act today. Repugnant. Lots going on. And our guest tonight, we're talking all things Malaysia. Dr. Joseph Goh has been telling us about the wider impact of the Ibrahim sodomy trials in Malaysia. We asked Joseph what being exposed or outed might mean for somebody in Malaysia.
By and large, politics, society, culture, religion, these modalities work together to create this climate of fear of exposure. So a person in Malaysia, a Malaysian Chinese, a Malaysian Malay, a Malaysian Indian, who is gay or lesbian or even trans, would find it very difficult to be assertive in his or her gender identity or sexual orientation, simply because society as a whole still disapproves of any deviation from mainstream gender and sexual identities. This is, of course, again supported by cultural expectations of gender roles, gender norms. This, in turn, is supported by mainstream conservative religious institutions, notably Muslim and Christian institutions, who put the fear of God in LGBT people by telling them that God disapproves of them if they deviate from the norm. And of course, the laws and the policies are there. So all these elements come together to create that fear of exposure, of truly being themselves in a positive way.
For the individual, how would that actually impact them? I mean, would their family reject them, throw them out? Would they have workplace issues if it became known their sexuality?
I think that it is a case of a yes and a no. So I do know of people who have been kicked out of their homes for being gay or lesbian, people who have been disowned by the families for coming out as transgender. I do know people who have experienced discrimination at work, even being discriminated against in job opportunities. But at the same time, I do know of more tolerant spaces for LGBT people where they don't really care what your sexual orientation, what your gender identity is. As long as you can do the job, we will let you in, we will take you on. So I think it's a yes and no. I don't think there's anything that's uniform. There's nothing that cuts across the board for everyone. It's really up to the whim and fancy of the individual. There are places where LGBT people gather for entertainment, and you know, whether or not these places are raided by the police or by religious institutions is not something that can be predicted with any real certainty. LGBT people have gathered for entertainment purposes, and you know, there have been situations where there is no problem, and there have been unexpected raids by the police. So we don't really know as and when it might occur. And at the same time, you know, I've seen lesbian women, I've seen gay men walking down streets in Kuala Lumpur, holding hands, showing public displays of affection to each other with no particular backlash. But I also know of a friend who was punched in the face for walking down the streets of Kuala Lumpur with his boyfriend. So it's really, really something that's precarious.
I see what you mean. You mentioned religion there and its influence on individuals. What influence does religion have on the political stage?
Malaysia is a democratic country, and it is not an Islamic country. It is a secular country. It's a democratic country, although Islam is the official religion of the country. And according to our federal institution, because it is an official religion and not the religion of the country, not the only religion of the country, it is not to be imposed on all Malaysians. Instead, Malaysians are free to choose any religion of their own free will, or choose not to have a religion. Unfortunately, what's happening now is that Islam has become more and more politicized. It was greatly politicized in the 1980s with then Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, who sought to incorporate Islam into the various mechanics of governance in the country. So that has stayed on as a legacy through various prime ministers right down to this present one. And we see various forms of Islamization in various, shall we say, various aspects of governance in the country. One of the major manifestations of this event, of this process, is how Islam, or Malaysian Islam rather, has become this great entity that polices and monitors the lives of Malaysian men and women. There are many Islamic bodies that have been set up by the government, federal government, as well as state governments, to police morality among Malaysians. And this is not just for LGBT people, this is for all Malaysians. So there are a lot of these little bodies, these little institutions that go about checking on people to make sure that they're living according to what is believed to be the proper and legitimate Islamic way of life. So you do have cases where people are raided in hotels. You do have cases where people are rounded up for what is ostensibly seen as close proximity between two people who are married, and this is not supposed to be done. You're only supposed to be in close proximity with a person of the opposite sex if you are married. So all these things are done. And this general climate of vulnerability, of moral policing, has affected LGBT people as well.
Can you be Muslim and gay in Malaysia?
I think there are a lot of people who are Muslim and gay in Malaysia. There are many, many gay, lesbian, transgender Muslims in Malaysia. Many. But whether or not you can live it, you can live your life openly and publicly as gay, lesbian, or transgender and Muslim is another question altogether. I think for a lot of people, they do try to negotiate that. They are aware that there are certain places where they cannot be as public with their gender identity or sexual identity as they want to be. But there are other places where they can be themselves. So there is a lot of negotiation going on here.
You mentioned earlier the courage of the younger generation, the next generation of leaders coming through. What does advocacy for change look like in Malaysia?
I've been asked that question before, and I've been asked if I think that we're moving ahead or if we're walking backwards. I think it's a double-edged sword, really, because on the one hand, while there are a lot of different organizations emerging, and I won't name these organizations because to name them would be to put them in a very vulnerable position, but there are many up-and-coming organizations, community-based organizations, online forums, and communities that are actively working towards LGBT rights. While these groups are emerging and we are getting somewhere, we are also networking with regional and global organizations. While this is all happening, it also propels us into the limelight that there are some incidents in which we become visible, even more visible, despite trying to be discreet. We do become visible at certain times and are named for our work. So that sort of increases our vulnerability as well. So although we do move ahead, we are also placing ourselves in the line of fire even more, so to speak.
It's Dr. Joseph Goff from Monash University in Malaysia. Now, we actually spoke to Joseph just before this whole story. If you follow us on our Facebook page, you would have seen a number of posts about this competition that the Ministry of Health in Malaysia ran. Basically, they put out a video competition, gave a $1,000 prize, and it was around what they're calling a competition to create videos that would help teens make better health decisions. However, one of the criteria for this $1,000 prize, one of the entry criteria was a video for young people aged between 12 and 24 to explain how to prevent homosexuality and gender confusion. Unsurprisingly, people got upset.
LGBTI activists said the competition could cause violence and hatred towards the LGBTI community. The MOH confirmed it removed the category after meeting with the Malaysian AIDS Council and other advocates.
So they have now stopped that part of the competition. But it took a bit of effort because they initially came out and defended it to the hilt. And then obviously the international pressure and also the local pressure has been finally received as it should. Even so, they have reiterated, okay, we're taking it down, we're stopping, we're changing this competition. But they reiterate that its purpose was not to single out or discriminate against anybody. I don't know. If you're saying it's about preventing homosexuality and gender confusion, I think you're singling out.
Yeah, it's a little bit,
a little bit direct. We are talking all things Malaysia tonight on World Wide Web, and we've got more with our wonderful guests coming up.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi everyone, my name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
Madge, Madonna, Forbidden Love. Of course, we're talking the Forbidden Love in Malaysia, same-sex love. 317, loving that song, also says, gay Muslims sometimes become a minority within a minority and face challenges within the GLBTI network, who sadly aren't as welcoming or have preconceived stereotypes. Very true, very true. And a message in on the email on air at joy.org.au. Thanks, Melina. My father works at Monash, and it's pleasing to see the alumni, especially the campus in Malaysia, produce such eloquent and fantastic men like your guest. Well done, and congratulations on your interview during the Orlando tragedy. The best radio in Australia. Oh, we love you, Melina.
Speaking of our lovely guest tonight, Dr. Joseph Goff has been speaking about the vulnerability of being visibly gay in Malaysia. We asked him if this was a double-edged sword, though, that some visibility is needed in order to drive change.
I do think so. And I'm convinced that the efforts here are not just efforts by LGBT people. We are working with organizations that are not focused on LGBT issues. Here I'm referring to organizations that are concerned with human rights issues, with the rights of women, with a general concern over issues of justice in Malaysia. And part of that vision, part of that focus is the LGBT person. So all these groups are working together to create a better Malaysia. We have a lot of allies, straight allies, who don't feel that LGBT people are treated fairly in Malaysia, and we are working together. So I think we are forging ahead, but at the same time, there will be, and there are forces that will attempt to stop us in our tracks.
But you have hope that that next generation will be able to overcome that?
I am optimistic, but I won't be making any definitive pronouncements at this point in time.
Optimistic, but realistic, perhaps.
Yeah, I think I'm optimistic because I think, this new generation of young activists, LGBT activists in Malaysia, they are a lot more well-read and very, very well-connected to the rest of the world. So we are moving ahead. But at the same time, I'm not sure what lies in store for us as we move ahead. I'd like to think that there will be greater acceptance, greater tolerance. I don't really like the word tolerance, but if we can start with tolerance and move from tolerance to acceptance, that's a good step. But, the example that I gave a little while ago on how sexual identity and gender identity have been used as political implements to further certain causes, I'm just a little bit concerned that at the end of the day, it's the politics and it's the economics of sexuality and gender that prevent gender and sexuality rights from moving forward.
Dr. Joseph Galt from Monash University in Malaysia, thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave.
No problem. Great chatting with you, Matt.
I love his positivity. Even despite these things that are happening, very political, some issues regarding religion and persecution and discrimination, he still sees that there's change and happy to take those steps, wants to see more, of course, but I guess that's why we have people like him who are advocating there in Malaysia and obviously doing a great job. I just also wanted to touch to, mostly because it tickled my fancy, but this, have you seen the Cory Bernardi thing happening on Facebook?
Yes, I have.
So basically, there's this pride icon. So you can, if you like the page LGBTQ at Facebook, if you like that page, you get an extra icon for Pride Month.
Yeah, another little reaction to add to
a reaction. That's
posts.
The one, and it's a little rainbow flag.
Yeah.
And Cory Bernardi updated his profile picture. So there's a push on for everybody to go on and put the pride flag on his Facebook profile picture. It's going great guns. We just checked just before the show. It was just about to clock over 7,000 pride flags compared to, I think the closest was about 1,900 other likes.
And I think for a reaction to be beating likes is quite a big deal because, likes is just, if someone's wanting to be quick, you just hit the button and you're done. But to go to the reaction, not everyone does. So to have that many people going straight for that pride flag.
Putting in a bit of thought. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can read both the story and you can also go on there and give him a bit of pride, a bit of rainbow flag pride. Our Facebook page is W3Joy, which is Worldwide Wave on Facebook. And we've had also a donation come in as well. Bridget from Kensington, thank you so much for your donation. It is fantastic. You get in the running for all the Radiothon prizes as well, which will be drawn just after the end of this month. So thanks for coming on board and keeping us going because we still need joy.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Hello, I'm Micaela, the producer of El Hombre Nuevo, speaking from Uruguay for Worldwide Wide.
And don't forget, all those donations are also tax deductible. It's coming into tax time, so this is your chance to get one up on the government, on Treasurer Morrison. You can get some money back by helping us out. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Dr. Joseph Goh. The lecturer is a lecturer in gender studies at Monash University in Malaysia. You can find out more about his work, and he's got a great website with lots of information about LGBT issues in Malaysia. It's josephgoh.org. We'll place a link on our Facebook page as well.
And a big thank you to everyone who messaged in on Facebook, Chris, Kun, Claire, Yasmin, Gary, and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And all those messages to Brad Molina 317, Bridget for her donation. We love you very much. Thank you very much. Mark, our podcaster, who works behind the scenes, putting all our podcasts to up online so you can listen to us from all countries all over the world. Covered, I reckon, I'd have to do another recount. We're certainly up over 140 countries now. A bit of music to take us out. Guy Sebastian with his Malaysian heritage beating like a drum. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
And I can't hold it in my hands. Doesn't mean that I should just give up on chance. We can try, we should try.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne, or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.